This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
At universities today, there's a lot of emphasis placed on recruiting and retaining a diverse student body. At the same time, new numbers show that, in large part, faculty diversity has not increased in the last couple of decades, especially for African Americans and Native Americans.
Our next guest took a look at the issue of faculty diversity for a recent article in The Atlantic called The Need for More Professors of Color. Autumn Arnett is a senior writer for Diverse Issues in Higher Education. Autumn, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you write that back in the 90s, there was a move for universities to make more diverse faculty and administrative hires. So where did that push come from?
I think that it came from an overall push across the country for affirmative action efforts. So at the same time, we had a number of lawsuits, Adams and Ayers, that were pushing for increased opportunities for Black students. And I think that there was a recognition then that you couldn't recruit more Black students without also making an effort to have faculty that looked like them on campus.
So a couple decades later, where is that effort?
A couple decades later, we're actually regressing a bit. And I think that's for a number of reasons. I think that affirmative action has become increasingly more controversial. So in the 90s, it was pretty commonly accepted that affirmative action was a necessary means to achieve some equity in the higher education and really in multiple landscapes. And now we see that coming under attack. The Supreme Court is gearing up to hear the Fisher versus University of Texas case again. And we're also seeing, though, which is not necessarily a negative, a change in the cultural landscape of the country. So in the 90s, we still very much saw the country as Black and white in a number of respects, again. But by the time we get to 2015, we are realizing that there are so many more ethnicities and so many more people that we need to recognize in addition to African-American and Caucasian professors and students and people in general.
You said that a couple decades later from the affirmative action of the 90s that we're regressing. So in terms of where we are, is that true across all ethnicities that there's been regression or are some different?
So there's been an increase for Asian Americans, and Native Americans have remained pretty constant, but their share is less than 1% of the population. So a constant when you're at less than 1% is still not really a good trend. But for African Americans and Latinos, we've seen some downtrends in the faculty numbers across the board.
And you talk to experts looking at the issue of minority representation at universities. What did they tell you about why there wasn't more movement for African Americans and other minority groups?
I think there are two different schools of conversation. There's one that says, small university X in small town America might have a hard time attracting anyone to come to a town without many amenities. I tend to think that that's a lazy narrative. I think that there are things, and my article that you referenced mentioned some of the things that Dr. Jackson, Gerlando Jackson, who's based out of the University of Wisconsin, actually, that he suggested, including some additional faculty perks. So that would be things like offering additional conference stipends, having campus affinity groups, but if your numbers on campus aren't high enough, making sure that you provide ample time and resources for your faculty of color to go seek community in other spaces. There's another narrative, though, that says that some universities are understanding that they need to publicly say, woe is us, what can we do? But behind closed doors, faculty and administrators of color, even though small in number, are making suggestions, and it's just not really a high priority to actually fix. So institutions are understanding, that it has to be part of the rhetoric, but when it comes time to actually act on some of these recommendations, that is a little slower in the making.
And another issue that came up was that university faculty of color sometimes got sidetracked from research, the things that would help them get promoted, because they tended to be given lots of other duties. How does that tend to play out?
So I don't know that it's officially university-imposed duties, right? But if you're one of maybe two Black male faculty on an entire campus, for example, or one of two Black female faculty, then you fall into this role of mentoring all of the minority students, of even when you're not necessarily having office hours, you have students hanging out in the office because the students are also looking for that sense of community on campus, and they see you as one of few people who look like them and may understand some of what they're going through. You take on some of the diversity work in terms of student group advising. So these are unofficial roles that the faculty are taking on. I don't mean to impose that the university is automatically saying, hey, you individual person of color in the department, you're going to be the person responsible for diversity. But you become a spokesperson for like campus tours, for when reporters like myself come on campus, you become kind of the person who gets to get out front and talk about some of the diversity aims, and you just become the poster child by default because you're the only person there, if that makes sense.
Right. You're right that, on the other hand, these faculty members wanted to take on some of these mentorship and other leadership roles because, you know, they liked it and they maybe felt a responsibility too.
Right. And I'm sorry, that's some of what I meant to get at, is that faculty feel a responsibility, a personal responsibility, to take on these students who are also trying to seek community.
We're talking.
So I didn't mean to suggest that it was university imposed.
Right. We're talking with Autumn Arnett right now, senior writer for Diverse Issues in Higher Education. She's talking about the need for faculty diversity at colleges and universities. And Autumn, there's a lot of attention now on how to recruit, how to retain a diverse student body, maybe less pay to faculty diversity. Do you think, first of all, that that's changing? And why do you think it is that there's been more emphasis on the student body?
I think it's, not to sound cynical, but the students pay tuition dollars. So you want to attract more students who will pay more money. I think there's also been, from the federal standpoint, more of a push for students, right? A lot of the lawsuits have been geared towards student access and opportunity. A lot of the activism on social media and otherwise has really been driven around students. I think particularly with the rise of social media, institutional reputation has become a big concern for a number of institutions. Students can complain about anything from, mold in the residence hall to the food that they don't like in the dining hall to racist incidents on campus. So when your students are your most outspoken constituents, I think they become the ones that you consider the most, and it helps that they are the ones who are paying the institution to be there and not the other way around.
And is there evidence that when there are students of color on campus, if they don't see professors there, as you said, that look like them, that they're maybe less likely to stay at that university or less likely to bring others on board?
I don't know if there's a direct one-to-one correlation, but certainly in some of the movements that we've seen this week across the country, at Yale, at the University of Missouri, we see that a big concern for the students of color is not seeing people who look like them represented in the faculty. So just for example, in New Haven, Connecticut, where Yale is located, the African-American population actually exceeds the white population. It's about 33% versus 32% in 2013. But at Yale, 72% of the students are white and fewer than 3% of the faculty are black. So for black students on campus, again, trying to find that sense of community, trying to find that sense of belonging, because in college between, you know, the ages of 18 and 22, when you're really trying to find yourself, feeling like you belong on campus is a big deal. And for a lot of the schools, they have significantly lower graduation rates and retention rates for the African-American students as compared to the population overall. And I think some of that may tie into this idea of not belonging on campus.
As you said, you talked with Professor Jackson from Wisconsin's Equity and Inclusion Lab, who said that there has to be a commitment to diversity from the entire institution. What would that look like?
So from the administrative level, it has to look like, A, creating spaces for your faculty, right, and creating some of these opportunities, allowing some time off, allowing some additional travel stipends so that they can attend conferences where they feel comfortable, where there are safe spaces, where they can just have conversations about things like frustrations about not wanting people to touch their hair, or just these very small cultural nuances that you don't think are important but that very much affect someone's psyche. So it's from the administrative level, it's providing more support, it's providing space for faculty affinity groups, it's having a real commitment to listening to faculty. If faculty bring issues, making them feel like they're issues and concerns are being heard and not just being brushed aside. At the departmental levels, it's making a commitment to really hire more diverse faculty members. It's making a commitment, again, to be supportive of those faculty members, to try to understand some of the needs for cultural space, some of the, even if it's just Lyceum events where you have discussions that are reflective of more cultures, to introduce the entire university, but really to provide some community for these faculty of color. It's going down to...
And we have to leave it there. Autumn, thank you so much for joining me. That was Autumn Arnett, senior writer for Diverse Issues in Higher Education. She joined us to talk about the need for faculty diversity at colleges and universities. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.